This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Susan, you know, we all carry around different stressors, some big and some small.
And sometimes they all tend to hit you at once on the same day.
Yeah, like today. It's not been a great day.
More on that later on the show. But we all carry around these stressors, and keeping them bottled up can affect us negatively.
But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and learning how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who experience major trauma. It's also for those who've experienced a lot of bad things happening on one day.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/proof today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/proof. Susan, Butcher Box to the rescue. The other night we had some friends over for dinner and we had no idea what to make. And I was like, guess what? We have a freezer full of meat. So my husband went down and thawed out some chicken from Butcher Box and made the best coco van that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, you'd have been screwed without Butcher Box because I know you ain't got no time to go to the store right now.
That's true. I don't have time to go shop for meat or pick out the meat or find the best quality, low-priced meat. So ButcherBox does all of that for me.
So true story, my husband's workplace has a Slack channel called Smoked Meats. And I know you can't like win a workplace conversation, but he is now because with ButcherBox, his great cuts of meat to the door, they can cook up and take photos of for his workmates.
I love ButcherBox and I think other people would too.
ButcherBox is the ultimate convenience, delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping always, with curated, customized box plans.
It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork, raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood.
There are a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value with exclusive membership deals. They also provide recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks.
Sign up at butcherbox.com/proof and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer, plus an additional 20% off.
Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/proof and use code PROOF to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order. Hi, and welcome to this week's Proof Sidebar. I'm here with Kevin Fitzpatrick and Jacinda Davis to discuss episode 15 of our series on the case of Lee Clark and Kane's story. So 2 weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago, time kind of blurs together, we made our most recent and perhaps final for a while trip to Rome, Georgia. It hadn't been a planned trip, but after we talked to the families of Brian Bowling and Lee's father, and they had wanted to meet each other, we decided to arrange to travel back to Rome and to be there for it.
I have to say, when we first interviewed Michael, I don't know if you remember me saying this to you guys, but I felt like Michael and Glenn should meet and that I could see it unfolding that way.
You did. You said exactly that.
Yeah. So when Michael actually did reach out and express interest in meeting Glenn, I was really, really happy about that. And then soon after that, Amanda sent Glenn a message. So it was not anything that we encouraged them to do or told them to do. It was something that they did on their own.
And it's not something I would have expected to happen either. I say that. So from the very first time I met Brian's family, it was obvious to me that they were very interested in finding out what had happened to Brian. They thought that Lee and Kane were guilty, but they knew there's stuff they didn't know. And you could tell they had a genuine willingness and desire to find out exactly what occurred, even at the risk of potentially finding out information that they didn't expect or want.
It takes a lot of courage to open those wounds again and go down a path when you already thought you had the answers.
It does. And I remember thinking like I could see them maybe a bit, one day far in the future, perhaps revisiting their opinions on the case. It wouldn't have crossed my mind that over the course of the season of our show that they would, because it's such a difficult journey for families to go through, and not something I'd ever expect from anyone, because it's such an emotionally difficult and trying experience to go through.
I know that Amanda, when we interviewed her and Kenneth in, say, December, they were both very convinced, and certainly Amanda was, that both Lee and Kane were there, and both of them were responsible. I mean, there's no sort of hesitation in her mind or in her tone at that moment. And so to see that transformation from listening to the podcast is pretty extraordinary.
And even during the season, it was clear that, you know, from a few messages exchanged, that they still believed they were guilty.
I think they did believe that, but they also, like you said, Susan, they had a lot of questions. And I think it was both Michael and Amanda who said early on that if it was Kane who did this and it was intentional, he couldn't have done it by himself. Lee had to have been there, right? So again, it was that sort of making sense of something that doesn't make sense.
Trying to fit the pieces they have together.
Right.
And they thought they mostly fit, but they've always been aware that, you know, those pieces aren't actually matching up quite the way they're supposed to. But yeah, so we were there for the meeting. I've certainly never experienced something like that in all the cases I've worked on. And yeah, for me, one of the more heartbreaking moments was when Michael expressed his hope that something could be done quickly now to help Lee and Kane. And knowing that that's not how any of this works.
Yeah, I think one of the things that stood out to me from the meeting was you had these three people who have just been torn apart for decades by this case and by this tragedy. And Michael and Amanda they've lost Brian, and there's been so much pain in their family because of that. Glenn's been suffering through all of this. And I think that there was a genuine moment of sort of love and hope between them, that maybe between the three of them, they can work together and try and fix this. You know, I think that's what Michael was saying. And I think there's this sort of desperation for all of them to try and put people's lives back together after decades of them being sort of lost.
Yeah. And there are absolutely things that can be done and are being done, but it can be a really slow progression.
Yeah, it's going to take them a while. I mean, and as you say, I don't think that they realize that. I mean, in their minds, they understand that nobody's at fault here, and they want to get these guys out of jail, and they want to put Glenn's pain to rest. I mean, that was one of the most sort of telling moments of it all. I mean, Michael really expressing the guilt that they feel. I mean, they had nothing to do with it, but they feel this guilt, and I think they want to ease Glenn's pain. They want to make this right so that Brian's death isn't somehow associated with this continuing tragedy. And it's just not going to happen quickly. They can't just pick up the phone and call someone and say, please let these guys out and make this go away.
Technically, the DA could go a long ways to speeding things along. So there's always that, I guess I'll call it a hope. But the system always protects itself. In trying to decide what's harder, to convince the family of a victim or to convince the system, I would have said before it's probably about equal, but actually no. It's clearly harder to convince the system that it made a mistake than it is to convince the families of victims overall.
What kind of impact, like legally, I mean, it's hard to gauge, but, you know, say Michael and Amanda writing letters to parole boards or reaching out to the DA, or, I mean,
I don't know how it could or would have any effect in terms of the legal system, in terms of like the either AG's office or the DA and any claims that Kane or Lee might have to raise in court. But it absolutely could make a difference for the parole board. So if and or whenever Lee and Kane are up for parole again, it sounds like Brian's family wants to write letters of support for them. And that could very much go a long ways towards helping them get parole, especially because they're both claiming innocence. And it's just so hard to get parole in that circumstance. Having the victim's family on board with it would be a pretty huge deal, I think.
Yeah. I mean, those are the people that should want them in jail the most. And they want them out.
Yeah. We also heard this episode from someone I wish we'd been able to interview sooner in the season, and that was Matthew Battle, the son of Dallas Battle.
I was surprised, actually, when he reached out. He sent us an email saying that he had been listening to the podcast and asked if we could talk. I had no idea what he was going to say to us or how he felt about it, but certainly agreed to talk to him. And then we were able to meet him when we were down in Rome on this last trip.
Yeah, we had reached out to other members of Dallas Battle's family, but not his children. And I wish now I'd thought to do so. But I was surprised, too. I hadn't expected he'd want to talk to us, let alone want to sit down for a recorded interview. And, you know, he obviously his children were upset by some of what they've heard in the show. But he also recognized, I think, that we were unable to interview anyone on the record who may have had a better impression of his father. So that was something that was not available to us in the first place. And he wanted to tell us a different version of his father, the one that he knew, and to give us whatever information he had about the case. Although he was upfront saying, I don't know much about it, but if I know something, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, he and Kane and Lee were all, they're all about the same age.
He didn't know Lee, but he did know Kane.
He did know Kane, but, you know, being the same age, he wouldn't have known much about the case, I don't think, other than maybe what his dad had told him or what he had heard, you know, at church or whatever. So, yeah, he didn't have a lot of information he could provide about some of the questions we have about the case and the investigation of the case. But I think what he did say was important. You know, if you take him for his word and he says, David Stewart wants to talk to us, but he can't. I would love to talk to David Stewart. And I hope when the day comes that he can talk to us, that he'll give us a call.
Yeah. I mean, what he said was consistent with our own experience. No one who works for Floyd County is willing to speak to us, who still works for them, that is.
Yeah, but I don't know that. I'm not sure that some of the people we spoke to want to talk to us, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. I should clarify. It's not necessarily that they want to talk to us and can't. There are certainly those who are just fine not speaking to us.
Exactly.
But Matt Battle told us that David Stewart, who's a family friend of the Battles, you know, is aware of the case. And it sounds like he has information about the case that, you know, he remembers and would be potentially important to the investigation, but is unable to share that with us at this time.
I thought it was a really interesting interview, but I was surprised that he did it.
You know, there was some chatter on social media about why we included Matthew Battle's interview and whether or not it was the right thing to do. And he was just trying to make his dad look good. And my feeling is that he reached out to us. He had something to say, and we wanted to hear what he had to say. And, you know, he, of course, loved his dad. And by all accounts, his dad loved him. And so I don't regret including the interview. I think it was the right call.
No, absolutely not.
And I think, you know, everyone who's listened to the podcast and has heard us talk about Dallas Battle's record, you can take that into account when you listen to what Matthew has to say and draw your own conclusions about it.
Which Matthew did acknowledge, just to clarify, like he said, yes, like my dad made mistakes and his family accepted that and forgave him. So he did acknowledge there were some severe errors in his father's conduct at times, but that his family had forgiven him and that in his mind that it's overshadowed by what Matthew thinks he did right while he was law enforcement. It was interesting to hear, though, that his father would routinely go and view autopsies for his homicide cases. And I really do believe that Battle would have wanted an autopsy here. And that just increases the mystery of what really happened and why there wasn't one or supposedly wasn't one.
It's so confusing because they testified that there wasn't one. So someone would have known. Someone knew whether or not there was an autopsy.
Yep. And if that's the case, then someone was not honest under oath. But all big ifs. And until we find more documents, it might stay that way. So Well, I'm sure we'll be back in Rome again one day. Jacinda's favorite bartender was there this last trip, and I keep waiting for him to listen to the show.
Yeah,
has he heard the time that you said no one in Rome can make a Manhattan, though?
Okay, I'm taking that back. I take that back. I did. I heard from the bartender. It turns out he didn't know this, but he has family who is close with Glenn. And so they've been listening as well. And I've said it from day one that I really like Rome. And the people we've met have been very, very welcoming and nice. And I've grown very attached to Rome, Georgia, and I hope to be back soon.
Yeah. Well, next time I'm there, I'll be sure to try Manhattan and see if your opinion's right or not.
Monday will be our final episode for season one of Proof. So be sure to listen to that. And we'll be continuing to do some sidebars with updates about this case and other cases. And hopefully we will be back before too long with a season two.
Yeah. And final episode on this case for now. I very much hope that Lee and Kane will be back in court before the end of the year, and we'll be back to tell you all about it.
Yeah, we'll keep everyone updated, and I do hope and I do believe that there'll be some progress in the case to bring to the audience, and we'll find out what our story for season two is going to be.
Until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of Proof Sidebar. If you have any questions for future Sidebar episodes, don't forget to send them our way through email, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. On all social media, we are Proof Crime Pod. You can find me on Twitter at TheViewFromLL2 and on Instagram at SOOSimp. And you can now find Jacinda on Instagram too at JacindaProof.